It's Tuesday, December 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you. Hey, I hope you had a great day back to work. It's been busy here, but I got a great show for you nonetheless. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the Geek News Central studio high on the leeward side of Oahu, overlooking Honolulu and Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. How are ya? Welcome to the show. All of you that are long-term listeners, hey, thanks for being part of the Hana, being part of the family here. And for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, welcome to the podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You'll find that link on the third column of the website. And, of course, you'll find the archive podcast available there as well. Well, I tell you, folks, it's kind of getting into the normal groove here. I was telling the kids over the weekend, I say, hey, listen, we're done moving. We're living. And they kind of look at me kind of funny. What do you mean, Dad? We're done moving. Well, we're done moving. It's time to live. In other words, do your chores, everything else like you normally do without me having to nag. And you know how that, yes, nag. I don't care. Kids just don't remember their chores. They just don't. But it's been a very productive week here. Today was a really what I would consider my first day really back sitting at the computer. I've been working all day taking care of raw voice business, working on statistics, working just, you know, it was a very, very productive day. And that's the way it's going to be the rest of the week. I'm going to have a very full week because really things are pretty much, you know, we've got stuff that we're doing here, but we're pretty much settled in. One thing that, and for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time with this, I just got done moving. So kind of giving you some background and so a couple of things that we had to do here. But one thing that we had really kind of decided to not tackle right away was this, like, this banana trees. We have a corner of our yard where there was this about an 8x10 area that just become, well, the people that were here before, they planted a single banana tree. And any of you that have any knowledge on what goes on with banana trees, you plant one, they grow. Oh, boy, they're beautiful. They start to sprout into the bananas and the shrouds on. And, you know, you end up getting some bananas. But the next thing you know, you've got three more banana trees coming up. And after a banana tree bears fruit, it's really no good no more. It dies. It's done. And so they kind of pop up one after the other, pink, 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 pink. So I have dug out about half of the banana trees, and it is not a fun thing because they are full of water. You cut them down, you let them sit and dry out for a few days, and then but you got to dig the roots out right away. You got to get them out immediately, and it hasn't been pleasant. But we are making progress. That is where my shed is going to go, by goodness. So they have to be gone. And, of course, you got to deal with the bugs and everything else because it's lots of water. And it's essentially a mosquito trap. So, anyway, how many of you have got stock in a Home Depot? If you don't, this might be a great time to get some stock in Home Depot because it seems like I'm going there every day for something. Either that or Lowe's or Ace Hardware. One of the three, I'm usually in there on a daily basis. Today was the cheapest day. I went in for $1.99 sealant cap. And what that was for my a koi pond because I spent some time, had some questions on my koi pond, and we got koi here. And for those of you that aren't familiar with koi, just, you know, do a search on the internet. You'll come up with the what we have. So I've got four koi and then a couple of scavengers in this pond. And I went over to the windward side, the windward side of the island. and met with this guy that is like the premier island expert. And this is he's real cool. This guy's named Stanley. I mean, this guy was really awesome. And he says, hey, you fully don't understand what you got yourselves into with this koi pond. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to be out in your area. I'll stop by and we'll look at your setup. And so he spent some time with us, believe it or not, Sunday afternoon. He brought us some malasada. Those of you that don't know what malasada is, when you come to Hawaii, you got to have malasada. And real nice. And he brought me over a little vacuum thing that works kind of like a pool cleaner, but it's for working in fish ponds, I guess. And he looked at all that, and he's just like, who in the heck set this up before? So we talked about some changes that need to be made. And so I made those changes, and I spent an afternoon doing that, got that all done. And everything is working very, very well on the koi pond now. So I'm real happy with that. Got a few more things to do, but it's operational and the fish are safe and getting rid of the algae and all that stuff. But wow, my in-office to-do list has been, it's growing. And I have a lot to do. Consumer Electronics Show. Annie McCaskey and I have decided to go to the Consumer Electronics Show. We're working that out. We have not secured a sponsor yet, but we feel pretty good about what's going to be happening there. So him and I are going to be going. And so this is quite an undertaking for me. It's a big, big expense. The especially upfront cost if I'm not going to go. You know, the hotel alone for the week that we're going to be there is going to be $2,000, and airfare out of Hawaii's really high, so it's not a cheap venture. By the time you're all done, you're 3,500, maybe 4,000 into it for the week, and that's not doing any playing in Vegas. That's just staying busy and going to the show and doing interviews. So definitely going to be going out to Consumer Electronics Show. If you're going to be out there, love to hear from you, and we can definitely hook up. If you're going to be out there and will be willing to help support us, that would be good as well. Also, I am at this point, I had asked this once before, but I really need some professional help in doing some video intros. So if you've got some video talent that can do some video intros for us, basically it's going to, we need some stuff for the beginning of the video segments that we're going to be doing. And I'm hoping that there's someone out there that can do some quick work for us and hopefully relatively inexpensive, because, you know, we got all these other costs going on. I got a wire drop in here. Let me get this hooked back up. I haven't got this microphone exactly where I want it yet, and I haven't removed it, but there, I got it adjusted. So anyway, that's what's going on with Consumer Electronics and everything else. It's just a pile of stuff to do. One thing I do want to ask all of you, and this is in reference to the podcasting space, how many of you have read a weekend edition of USA Today and seen the podcast list in the USA Today? If you have, if you've seen that on Saturday in the USA Today, and I don't know how often it runs, I don't know if it's once a month or every week or when or where exactly it falls, but if you've seen that, I'd love to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. That's just going to give me an idea whether or not advertising in that particular magazine by the group that's doing that is worthwhile or not. And if any of you are podcasters out there that have actually advertised in that section, let me know if that's if you've had a good response or not from that. Also, we've got some new sponsor links on the Geek News Central website, and this is part of our affiliate program that we have over at Raw Voice. And there's two or three things here. One of them is a Apple Store link, and I don't know the exact I get some money back if you buy something through the Apple Store. So if you're going to be making a purchase, one thing that you can really do to help the show or help me here support the podcasting effort is, you know, click on the Apple Store link if you're going in to buy anything from Apple. I don't know if it gives you a discount or not, but we've also got some back to basic toys. So if you're looking for some stuff for Christmas, we've got some an actual jewelry link on here as well. So guys, if you're getting ready to pick up a diamond, Harris Michael Hot Diamonds are available. And if you're getting ready to do a recharge on your Skype, those are all available on the website. Those will be, I'm not going to talk about those on a regular basis. Those will just be there. So you'll see that as you come visiting the website. And just remember they're there. And if you can help support the show, I'd definitely appreciate it. Now, I got broadband this week. And the I guess when was it? Did we do a show since I've gotten broadband? He came on what day did he come? Let me look at my calendar. Oh, you guys know. You guys already know I got broadband. So that's old news. I apologize for bringing that up. But a couple last things. I haven't asked this in a long time, and we're just going to do a little experiment. In the newsletter tonight, I'm going to send a link to the Podcast Alley voting. You know how in the new month they have that over at Podcast Alley where you can vote for a show? Well, I'm going to have that link in there. This will be the first time in, a year or more that I've pimped for this. So I'm going to have that link in the show notes. I'm also going to have that link. Hopefully I find the link from that we used to use, but I'll have a link in the show notes, and I'll have a link also to iTunes. I got an email from someone said, "Hey, Todd, I had a hard time finding your show, and someone told me it's by the number of reviews in iTunes. If you get more reviews, your listing is higher in the iTunes listing. If you really want to help me out, do an iTunes review for the show. When you are in iTunes and you go to the listing for Geek News Central, just do a review on the podcast. Put a few sentences down on what you think. I'll have a link to the iTunes description link in the show notes and also in the newsletter that's sent out, so you'll be able to get it there. Just do someone reminded me, and I haven't done this in forever. So a couple things there, the iTunes review, and let's see what we can do on Podcast Alley, surprise some people, and get up in that list. I don't know, I don't even know what the traffic is to Podcast Alley anymore. I haven't visited it in a while, but maybe someone else is. All right, what else do I have in my initial list for you? I think, on the OLPC, I've had a few more donations come in, and we're really close on being able to get the third laptop. I need to get an actual number financially and figure out exactly where we need to go. But if you haven't donated for that, that is still an option. And you can send your PayPals to podcast@podcastconnect.com. Again, podcast@podcastconnect.com. The two, we've already ordered two. So the two that come here are going to be essentially raffled off to two of the people that have contributed. We're going to have putting everybody's name in that's contributed into the pile. And then we'll shake it up. And two people will get those laptops. The other two go off to a needy child in a third world country. And if we get the third one, the same thing applies. We'll raffle off the third one. But thanks for everyone that's donated for that. It's definitely appreciated, especially during the holiday period. I know everyone's tight on money. So let's go ahead and take care of a little business here. And we're ramped up and we're ready to go for our third annual Christmas special over at techpodcast.com. That's going to be going down this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. And we are going to have a great lineup of podcasters that are going to be talking about toys, kids' tech toys, adult tech toys, for something for the ladies as well. So it should be a great podcast. If you can't attend, if you're out shopping, don't worry. We'll have the video up for you. You'll be able to check that out at a later date or a couple days after the roundtable. But it's hosted by our sponsor, GoToMeeting. So these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail really just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. And I think you'll see Saturday how we switch back and forth and hand off and different presentation types. It's really, really cool. Works great. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Now moving right into our primary sponsor actually here, GoDaddy.com. Hey, gift cards are available. So if you got a real geek in the family, buy a gift card. That way they can get some very cool products over at GoDaddy.com, domain names, hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, secure socket certificates, you name it, they've got it over there. As far as domain products go and hosting products. And the best thing is if you buy them a gift certificate, make sure you give them a promo code to go along with it so that they can get a discount when they actually use it. So it's kind of a two-for-one type of deal. And you can pass on the promo code Todd or Geek5. That'll save them 10% on your order. The T-O-D-D code will, or Geek5 will save themselves 15% off when they have an order of $20 or more. Don't forget, we've got some special codes on the front of the website as well. And this will save you some huge money on shared hosting plans. 1 year shared hosting plans. If you use the promo code Todd20, we'll get you 20% off. And here's the trick. If you've got a product, you know, if you're really looking to get into hosting big time, you know, do like 3 years. And then they're going to give you a big discount. Then add the 20% off. You just play around with it. And you'll see where you get some real huge savings. Anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. So let's go ahead and get into the content tonight. And I do want to thank all of you for kind of, being patient with me here as I've added a few things to the agenda this week, as far as the iTunes review, Podcast Alley, and of course the affiliate links on the website. It's something that I won't do on a regular basis, but I do appreciate you for being patient with me. Let me go ahead and pop this up here. I got a reading Doug Kay's website. It appears that the individuals that are running Leopard, and how many of you out there are running Leopard on your Mac? How many of you are running into trouble? You know, Doug is not one to really complain. He's a big Mac user, and he's, you know, going on about HP printers issues are wrong, his drivers are screwed up. He's got problems with his wireless Microsoft mouse. He can't receive, his mail can't recover once after sending through SMTP. He can't get Parallels to run. QuickTime has messed up. How many of you have got issues? You know, I think what's surprising here is, you know, you normally don't hear about this. And here we are, you know, a while into the release, and people are still having big, big problems. So obviously, Apple users are feeling the same type of pain that those of us that have been on Windows for years feel when a new operating system comes out. So Doug is not real happy, and I assume a lot of other people aren't as well. Have any of you got a Leopard install that completely killed your machine, or you've had to back up to the old edition? I'd love to hear from you, of course. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. This morning when I woke up, I noticed over on various sites they were reporting that a tech blogger was in the hospital, and his name is Mark Orchant, and I hope I pronounced his last name correctly. If I didn't, I apologize. But he writes on a variety of websites, and I guess he had a massive heart attack yesterday morning, and he's in pretty bad shape. But any of you that have read Mark's blog post or maybe seen him on some of the syndicated sites he's been on in the past may be familiar with him. But anyway, hearts and prayers go out to him and his family. And while I don't know him, there's a lot of people. I'm sure I've read his articles and maybe didn't pay attention to it. But there's a lot of people out there that know Mark, and a lot of discussion about it today. Okay, moving on here, there's a write-up by Mark that I found that was being highlighted today talking about Facebook, and he had basically written an article that said, "Hey, Facebook, bye-bye." And he's went through and he had done his absolute best to remove every trace of himself from Facebook, and he really couldn't do it. It was to the point where he got down to what was left on his Facebook account, and he still has all of his friends. He couldn't remove them all, so it's pretty interesting on that, and I'll have a link up to this article so those of you that are not familiar with him can get a sample of his writing. It's pretty late here. I got started late tonight. I got in a couple of small projects and got sidelined, and all of a sudden I said, oh my goodness, I need to start the show, and I hadn't even started doing the research yet. So it is very, very late here in Hawaii. But I did, you know, there's a website that sometimes makes me mad when I read articles, and sometimes I say, oh, that's pretty interesting. And even the title of it will probably irritate some of you. It's called treehugger.com. And just the connotation of that particular name makes some people just, you know, shake their head. But they've got a pretty good article here about finding geothermal energy and how it supposedly just got easy. So what I want to do is I'll link this up. And I think we're all familiar with the power of geothermal energy. And anyone that's been to Iceland knows that they are, you know, they really tap into it heavily. But there's a lot of speculation, at least what's being talked about in this article, that the United States could, if it tapped the geothermal energy that's available, could really have a finite power source. So we'll have to see what comes of this. And it does make sense with us, you know, having going through fossil fuels like there is no tomorrow, and the world's consumption rate continues to go up, and those that can pump it really can't pump it much faster. But it is an alternative, although an expensive one to get to, because they have to dig so deep or drill so deep to get to it. But maybe someday they'll be able to tap this effectively. But according to this article, it's it just got easier. So time will tell. Let you guys take a peek at this. All right, AT&T has decided to hang up its payphones. How long has it been since you used a payphone? You know, back, this will date myself a little bit, back nearly, it's been, see, my oldest is 17, 18, about 19 years ago, I had thought about getting in the payphone business. At the time, really, there was the Bells were dominant. You know, there was no cell phones then. Maybe they had just gotten started. They were those huge, bulky phones, but not everyone had a mobile phone, and people used payphones quite heavily. And I had thought about getting into the business of going into stores and bars and putting payphones in. And it was pretty lucrative business if you could get to, you know, have your phone in a place that had high traffic, but also a lot of maintenance because phones would get tore up and ripped apart. But AT&T has decided that after 100 years since its first coin-operated payphone, that it's going to pull the plug. And so all of those services are going to go silent in 2008. I think what I'm going to try to do, and if anybody knows a source, I think I'm going to try to score me a payphone. You know, they used to be really expensive, but as many as had been pulled out, I'm sure they were probably turned in for scrap iron, most of them, because most of them were made of steel. I'm sure they probably were sold for scrap, but it would be kind of cool to get an old payphone and have it hung on the wall here at the house and make it available to visitors that come by. And, of course, you'd want to make them put in a quarter to make a call, right? What does it cost to use a payphone these days? I don't even know. And I understand why they're going out of business, you know, or actually pulling their support for them, because no one uses them, at least not in any areas I've seen as of recent. There's a good article over on TV Week, and this is an interesting article because it's entitled Online Fame Easy, and then goes on, Ads Harder to Get. It talks about, you know, some of the super rock stars like Ask a Ninja, folks over at the Beat TV video blogger, you know, people that are pulling in huge amounts of money. It's rumored that the Ask a Ninja folks are generating $100,000 a month in ad revenue, and that's an amazing number for new media. And then the guy that does a Beat.TV blog is saying he's pulling in about $15,000 a month. You know, you could go, by folks, that you could go full time, $15,000 a month. That's huge, huge money. And then there's folks like iJustine, who has approximately, well, she makes about $1,000 a month, which really, I don't know how she does what she does with only, you know, earning $1,000 a month. But, you know, there's not a lot of shows out there that can create the type of views that Ask a Ninja does. You know, they're doing significant volume there. And, you know, you get like guys like Z Frank, who pulls in huge amounts of money as well. And a lot of these videos are working with Rever and different groups to generate revenue. But it does go to show you that if you have a you know, some new media property out there that is doing huge numbers, you could very well make a full-time living with it. Now, this show here, I definitely, you know, it does okay, but I can't make a full-time living just from the show. It definitely it doesn't do that well. And but boy, oh boy, I tell you, it's some amazing numbers. Now, granted, with my retirement, it helps for sure with the combined with the sponsors and the retirement. But you never know. You never know how long sponsors are going to last for a particular item. And it's been tough. It's been tough out there adding new advertisers to the space. It really, really has. But anyway, good article, something for those of you that are interested to check out. Over on National Geographic News, this is probably the news of the day here, folks. Science Today announced the discovery of an extraordinarily preserved dinosaur mummy with much of its tissue and bone still encased in an uncollapsed envelope of skin. This is huge. And what they found was a preliminary studies are saying it's a 67-million-year-old hadrosaur, and they've named it Dakota. So this is really amazing here, where if they have some tissue still, that's significant. That's beyond significant. That is a major, major find. And I'm looking here. I think they found this in, where did they find this one? They haven't said where this particular specimen was found. But, you know, they found a lot of stuff out of North Dakota and those areas. So we'll see here. Oh, there's a couple more pages of coverage that I did not get to. Link will be up in the show notes. Y'all can check it out. But those, if you got kids that are interested in dinosaurs, hey, this would be a good one to pass on to them to check out, and definitely a good interest story. All right, folks, there are a number of articles I found tonight that will be linked at the bottom of the show notes that I'm not going to cover in the regular show, but are things that I found that I thought were of interest that may be of interest to you. So make sure you look at the bottom of the show notes. Hey, do want to make you all aware here of that attackers are targeting unpatched QuickTime flaw. Now, there is no patch. So when I say unpatched, Apple hasn't come out with anything to fix a bug that was found on November 23rd. So hopefully Apple gets this updated soon. But what's going on here? There are two types of attacks underway. In the first, victim computers are being redirected to an adult website, and to another, the website that infects the computers with an application called loader.exe, which can be saved to the computer as is metasploit.exe. It's got some other words or some other executables all as well. But it says once installed on a computer, this application downloads another binary file, and it's identified as a hack tool rootkit. And it's essentially a series of tools that can be used to break into a system. So make sure you have all your antivirus caught up and be very careful out there on the media that you're consuming, because you can get hit by this bad boy. Those of you that are in Second Life, it's being exploited in Second Life as well. I'll have a link to that article in the show notes as well. So be very careful with this vulnerability. Don't go to sites that you absolutely don't trust, because you can be owned, and it says that Mac OS users are at risk as well. You know, here in office, I've got my ceiling fan going on. I don't know if you can hear it. And I've got the sliding glass door shut, but I've got the screen windows open. But I have got these, I don't know where they come from. I have got tiny little flies, I guess, or something that flies. It's not a termite, but it's real tiny, that is in love with my LCD screen. And they're landing on it and climbing on. Oh, that is irritating. I guess now, as a prelude to the show, every time I'm going to have to get a can of bug spray and spray the room down. But you know, you see this thing moving across your screen, and you're trying to do go through the show inventory, and it's annoying. It really, really is. But pretty funny, wouldn't you say? Okay, moving on next over on readwriteweb.com. They've got an article on it's actually an interview, and it's about a guy that's written a program. Actually, it's going to be on a website called Dig Filter. And this is an application that is going to allow people to discover content on Dig. And it's based upon, it's essentially kind of a recommendation type of engine. You know, for a long time, I have not been going to Dig just because there is just so much junk on Dig. It would be nice to have some sort of like a filter. This is a application that a gentleman has written because he was becoming frustrated with the service. And he spent about 200 hours making it. And so far, it's getting some pretty good initial reviews. So I have this linked up in the show notes. And you all can check it out. It's over at digfilter.com. You can find that. But a good write-up, a good interview by the guy that made it and why he made it. The next article I want to talk about is actually an article I found off of Slashdot. And it's referenced an article from Polytech. And it's referenced a article on Billboard. So kind of a long way to get there. But in essence, they're saying here that, and this is what I find kind of odd. I thought MP3 format was pretty standard. But they're saying that the MP3 format is still gathering more momentum. And, you know, I guess from if you're a music purist, you probably absolutely hate MP3 in itself because of the way it really whittles away its sound quality as you do conversions. But they say that the MP3 format is gathering momentum because there's a tipping point in the music business in favor of MP3. And in reference to the two biggest drivers pushing Warner and Sony BMG toward MP3 is an upcoming download giveaway and a positive move by the usually maligned Walmart. So it appears that Walmart is going to be giving away some music that is DRM-free and somewhere between mid-December and mid-January. So we will see what happens with this, but, you know, you've got all the other formats out there. You've got OGG, AAC, Wave. Of course, no one's using Wave on MP3 players. At least I hope you're not. But OGG is really a good format, and so is AAC in its sense. So, but it's interesting to see how MP3 continues to gain some momentum here, and I thought it was pretty much king anyway. But many of you probably that run Macs don't think so. You probably are. How many of you run Macs, or do you just strictly run AAC files? Is that it? I don't even play music on my Mac besides what's in the iTunes or a couple of songs maybe I bought when I've been on iTunes with that particular machine. But how many of you would spend $999 for a complete DNA scan? Sounds kind of interesting, doesn't it? There's a company called 23andMe.com. It's going to be opening its doors next Monday. It's going to allow you to send them a cheek swab and have your DNA analyzed for $1,000. And, you know, that's interesting when you consider what they're going to be doing here. They're going to tell you what diseases you're predisposed to. And they're going to give you what's called a gene explorer that allows you to do a search in your genome to find out if you have a certain gene. In other words, if you want to see if you've got the gene that has been linked to Alzheimer's or some of the other stuff that's out there. So how many of you would have your DNA analyzed for $999? Would you be willing to do that? Oh, of course, you got to pay shipping. So don't forget that. But sounds like an interesting, you know, how many of you have gotten full DNA scans? You know, what's the difference between a regular DNA and a full DNA? I guess, is there anyone out there, is a medical doctor that can tell me? Because I don't know. But it may be worth it, especially if they give you good detailed information, you know, all the raw data. If they don't give you the raw data, then that probably wouldn't be cool, wouldn't be worth it, but very interesting service. We'll have to see how many people jump on board and take them up on their offer. Okay, how many of you have a HD TV that only has one HDMI port on it? Luckily, my flat screen has two HDMI inputs, but I'm also already running into a problem where I may have a third item that's going to need an HDMI input, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Well, Belkin is shipping a low-cost 2-port HDMI switch with a remote control, and it's really, truly inexpensive. It's by far the most inexpensive HDMI switch I've seen so far. It's $49.99, and it'll work all the way up to 1080p. So I think the thing I like about it is it's got the remote. You can switch it. You know, you basically hook this up and put it somewhere down in your console, and then you hide the, you know, put the remote someplace where the kids won't get it. And then you want to switch from one device to the other. You can flip back and forth if you have the need for more HDMI inputs. You don't want to crawl in the back of the TV and switch the doggone thing out when you need to. Hey, I want to take a few minutes and talk about paid reviews, blogging reviews, a type of model that PaperPost is using. I want to talk about selling links on websites. And this is in reference to an article that Matt Cutts wrote. And now Matt works at Google, and he was able to write a pretty lengthy article on paid post and selling links on one's website. What I thought very interesting was that Google has made an internal decision, and we've talked about this before, to penalize sites that are essentially writing paid post. And especially if they're not disclosing and putting the no follow, if they're not putting a no follow after those types of articles. And it raises a dilemma for me, because I get to thinking and say, okay, I get products in the mail or FedEx or UPS from companies. I've got a product here on my desk right now that I need to open up and review. It's called the Corsair Flash Padlock. It's a USB 2.0 memory drive. It's got 2 gigs of memory, and I haven't. What's unique about it is it's got a little combination thing on the front where you can actually lock it, but I haven't played with it. But part of my review requirements here is that I actually use the product for at least 3 days, actively using it. And generally, it's longer, because, you know, maybe I don't use the product. I use it the first day, maybe don't use it the next. But I do have a policy of using products here. And actually, before I put any pen to paper per se, I have actually used the product and, you know, gotten a price point and, you know, determined whether or not it's a good value and if it does what it's supposed to do. So that in itself, by getting this device, and they don't make me send it back. Sometimes I have to send stuff back, but not all the time. And matter of fact, we're going to give some stuff away here at the end of the year. That's some stuff that I've collected through the year that's in a, you know, brand new, that are in a boxes, and we're just giving away to the audience. But the I feel that the reviews I write are very objective. I've taken the time to look at the product, use the product. I've become to understand the product. It's a tech product. It's not, you know, I get requests all the time for people or from companies ask me to review movies. And I don't do movie reviews. Why would I do movie reviews on Geek News Central? It doesn't make no sense, right? So imagine you're a blogger and you're working for PaperPost, and they have a blogging opportunity that comes up where they're going to pay you $5 to write about some new, supposedly new surgical procedure. Well, how many of us are qualified really to understand anything about the medical community? You know, a doctor would be, right? A surgeon, someone that, a nurse maybe. You know, there's a select few that would be quote-unquote qualified to write about a particular service or product or procedure and be able to recommend it. Now, I don't know if I was going to be writing about any medical stuff, if I'd be willing to actually do that, because, you know, you're talking about medical stuff, right? Well, what Google example was is that a specific procedure, if you search on it and it's some sort of a cancer procedure, you all of a sudden started showing up these blog results where people were saying, oh, this is a great new methodology. And basically what they had given is they'd been given a press release and some information, and the folks went in and basically blog after blog after blog almost wrote the same exact thing, doing the same pitch lines, using the same keywords, and thus gaming Google. Now, do those bloggers know anything about this medical procedure? Nope. But they got paid $5 to write about it. So while their review, in essence, they were giving something to, they were given $5 to review something. So where there's definitely a distinct line between what I would consider here as a legitimate review and what I would consider to be just some junk that someone has written on a website to get $5. But there is definitely a fine line. So Google has basically said, you know, you don't disclose, you don't say it's a paid review, you don't, you know, we catch some sort of trend going on, you're done. We're going to remove your page rank. We're going to penalize you. And it does concern me some because I don't know how to, well, I know how I do it on my website. And in the show, I address it directly in the show and I address it directly on the website. It's very clear what's sponsored and what's not. There's no follow links on the actual hyperlinks to the particular the vendors and stuff. And you'll find that even on the right-hand side of the page. If you look at the source code, you'll find that there's no follow links. So I'm following Google's guidelines so that that stuff doesn't get indexed and those sites don't arbitrarily get PageRank from me because of that. But it's definitely a concern, and but it's a good write-up on Google. Check out what I wrote on my blog, and I think you all hopefully are all following me on the in this fine line of differences between somebody that's legitimate and someone that isn't. Now I wouldn't load up and go to some non-tech conference and try to cover it. You know, maybe I'd be able to talk in general speaking, but you got to be an expert in a particular field to do a review, and to do otherwise is dangerous, because what if someone finds your review and makes a life decision based upon that, and someone ends up dying because, you know, the advice they got off the internet was bad? And, you know, that's the extreme, but let's face it, some people that are out there don't know what blogs have authority and which don't. So anyway, enough on that. Let's move on here. I got a lot more stuff to talk about. There's a pretty cool article on Gizmodo, and it's a concept post, and it basically says, if Apple designed a flashlight, what would it look like? And people are getting that Apple has pretty good style. I think you'll get a kick out of this little mini concept article. I wonder how many more things people can think of that Apple would design well. Hey, there's a good article over on GigaOM talking about marketers increasingly realize the audience is online. Hello. But what they're saying here is that the media buying firm projects that online advertising spending will overtake radio spending in 2008 and magazine spending by 2010 to account for 11.5% of total ad spending. So while economic weakness may hold down overall ad spending, online media properties stand poised to benefit as marketers realize that their audience is otherwise engaged. Now, here's a question for all of you, and I'm going to pose this as in reference to a sponsor that's on this show. How many of you have been influenced by my show to use GoDaddy as your hosting provider, as your domain provider? How many of you have been influenced solely from this show? And if you have, tell me whether you've been happy with your experience or not. geeknews@gmail.com. Now, I'm not going to provide any of this data back to GoDaddy, but what I'm trying to figure out here is, how do we make advertisers understand that this medium is a good medium for them to be in? Now, while you guys don't want to hear a show full of ads, but it does take an ad sponsors to help the space continue to grow and help the new media space grow. And as long as it's done right and not so it's annoying you, it should be good. Now, I people have always said, well, why don't you go to a donation model? I personally don't think that most people are willing to do, you know, big enough donations to make up the difference from what the sponsors provide. I don't think the numbers are there. So what do you guys think, you know, so far as the, you know, the influence has been? And when you guys are in other sites, do you guys get influenced by other sites when they tell you something? What influence you? Do reviews influence you? Do straight ads and on the websites do? You know, what influences you to engage with someone today? Most of us probably do not click on banner ads. I know that I don't. I'm sure most of you don't. Probably most of you block banner ads, I would think. So what does it take to get you engaged and to act and open up your wallets? And just, you know, some general comments would be cool. But, you know, I guess what I'm looking for is some one-liners to send back to, and I'll keep it anonymous, to send back to, you know, when we're doing a presentation to a prospective advertiser, say, hey, here's what the audience says. And I think that's the most important for, you know, if you guys want to help me out, it'd be great. If you don't, it's cool too. As always, use the standard email, geeknews@gmail.com. I have two very different articles, and I'm going to link both these up. And I want you both to read the stark differences in them. And I'm going to, it's about Six Apart selling Live Journal to a Russian group. The first article is on GigaOm. Okay, and it's this is a, you know, very reputable writer. O'Malley, I like what he has to say. And then the second one is on a website called Master of 500 Hats. And I'm not going to tell you the difference in writing on both these. And on the one article, there'll be a link to a Business Week article. So I want you to go ahead and link in and read the Business Week article and look at the three and tell me who is more objective and has, you know, a better outlook on what things are going. And basically do some stark comparisons between a mainstream media, a reputable long-term blogger, and a guy that's kind of fed up with both. So tell me what you think about this mix here, this intermix of these three different articles on Six Apart selling to Live Journal. I'll put the Business Week article link up in the show notes too, so you don't have to search for it in the article. But if you take the time to read all three, I think you'll understand the point I'm trying to get and where I'm looking to see what you guys think about it, okay? So it's pretty funny. The one article is pretty funny, I must admit. I'll tell you, be forewarned. And maybe I'm actually influencing the commentary I want coming back, so I need to be quiet. Now, this article here, I probably should have referenced it with this other article, and I don't know why all of a sudden we're finding all these marketing ad type stuff that's coming up, but the questions being asked over on Zephora, Zephori.org, says, who clicks on ads and what might this mean? And I think we've all agreed, at least pretty much I know most of you don't click on ads on websites. There's been a study done that I find very interesting. It's saying that the ladies that live in the Midwest are heavy clickers. And it says here that, so this they did a survey. The AOL Global Advertising Strategy did a study to investigate who clicks on ads. And what they found was they learned that most people do not click on ads, and those that do are by no means representative of web users at large. It goes on to say 99% of web users do not click on ads on a monthly basis. Only 1% that do, most only click once a month. Less than 0.2% click more often. The tiny percentage makes up the vast majority of banner ad clicks. So anyway, who are these heavy clickers? Now, they say they're predominantly female, and they're indexing at a rate almost double the male population. He says they are older. They're predominantly Midwesterners with some concentrations in the Mid-Atlantic states and in New England. And what kinds of content do they like to view when they're on the web? It says, not surprisingly, they look at sweepstakes far more than any other kind of content. You know, this is insulting. To me, if I was a woman, I would be insulted. It goes on to say here, it says, yes, these are the same people that tend to open direct mail and love to talk to telemarketers. You know what? My wife, she knows how to handle telemarketers. It's called click. Click. There's, you know, I don't even give them a second chance. Click. So, sweepstakes stuff. You got to give me a break. So they're saying that generally older Midwestern or Mid-Atlantic women are the one that are clicking on ads. I just do not, this does not bode well. I don't understand it. I really don't. And they go on to say here, and this ties us into social media services, are not designed to work around the audiences that this group expects. And I don't know. They're, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just sad because they're saying here that the majority of clickers are more representative of lower-income households than the average user, less educated than the average user, more likely to live outside of major metro regions, and more likely to be using, SNS to meet new people than average users, more likely to be using, this is the social networks. Does this set well with you? It doesn't set well with me. But interesting. Very, very interesting. Ladies, I'm not, the ladies that listen to the show, I know you've got something to say about this. Talk to your friends. Do they click on ads? Does this study hold true? Boy, oh boy. All right, geeknews@gmail.com. I think my wife would be insulted. I really do. TechCrunch has an article. PayPal launches soft storefront widget. And this is an interesting little widget that they have embedded. Now, I've been kind of staying away from TechCrunch, but I did not find this anywhere else. And actually, it was submitted to me by a friend of mine. And this is, if you have a product that you're selling, and you or you want to put something up on your website in this widget, this is might be the way to sell something on your website that you personally have available. Anyway, this link to this will be up in the show notes. Very, very useful tool for selling stuff via PayPal. Okay, have you heard about IRC? How many of you are IRC users? What would you think if there was a company out there that was monitoring all the IRC channels and capturing everything talked about? You do know that IRC channels are public, and whatever you say in one can be and probably is being captured to a text file somewhere. Well, IRC is basically being referenced as the fastest Deadpool ever. They were online 4 whole days, and there was such an outcry by the IRC community, they took their site down because people were not happy with this company coming in and indexing their conversations in these IRC channels. And what is it ignorance on their part to think that that's not happening already? You know, IRC is about the most open thing there is on the internet. You know, IRC was probably as popular as email at one point. I don't know now, but I remember the early days of the internet being on IRC continuously. All right, there's a good article over on the long tail. It's going to say, when is my industry going to stop lying? It talks about magazine subscriptions. And he has got scanned a magazine subscription card. And he's got it all circled and telling all the lies that magazine vendors go through to get you to subscribe to their magazines. And this is classic, folks. It really, really is. And, boy, I tell you, I have really never, I get magazines just like everyone else, and there's a few that I subscribe to, and most I buy off the rack. But I think you'll get a crack out of this, because this is so true compared to many, many magazine offers I've gotten before. Oh, professional discount, and here's all the extra stuff you're going to get by subscribing. But anyway, just see what lies are actually on a magazine subscription form. Well, this is the week. Space Shuttle's cleared for a Thursday launch, and I'm definitely going to be up, and I'm going to be watching. I'm pretty excited. This is a ongoing building of the International Space Station. They're going to be taking up the European lab module, and we're going to see the space station really come together here quickly as these next shuttle launches comes, because we're taking up big components here over the next 3 or 4 launches. And in good news is that NASA officials said on Friday that they think the leak was simply an instrumentation error and not an actual loss of air from the station. So that's good news. But looking forward to the launch on Thursday. If you are on the East Coast, anywhere near the Cape, launch time is 4:31 Eastern Standard Time, or 21:31 GMT. So looking forward to a space shuttle and all of the action that's going to be going on. And also, we're going to do the 24-hour show sometime in probably the next 10 days. Haven't firmed that up. Got to get it locked down with my a significant other when I can do that as well. And when it's not going to drive her crazy. Finally, there's some good news for the ladies out there. And this is from the New York Times. And the reason we're able to reference New York Times articles now is they don't go behind a firewall no more. But girls make history by sweeping top honors at a science contest. Girls won top honors for the first time in the Simons Competition in Math, Science, and Technology, one of the nation's most coveted student science awards, which were announced yesterday at New York University. Two young ladies were able to score a huge $100,000 scholarship, and they created a molecule that helps block the reproduction of drug-resistant tuberculosis bacteria. So here are two smart young ladies, a 16 and a 17-year-old. Very interesting what they did here. Good job, ladies. And boy, very, very, very smart, that's for sure. I wonder where these two went to school. Because I'll be honest with you, Hawaii schools, science, we could talk about a whole show about that. We really, really could, because the science here is just horrendous. It's terrible. All right, TechDirt's got this is all over the net today as well. And the title of their article is, Can Someone Explain the Rationale for Capping Cable Growth? And I don't know how I feel about this right now, but the FCC Chairman Kevin Martin is looking to reinstate a national cap on cable ownership, which would bar any one firm from serving more than 30% of the U.S. subscriber base. A similar rule was thrown out by the courts back in 2001, so I don't know how he can get this through again. But essentially, what he's trying here, I think, is to get some more competition in the market space. And TechDirt's basically saying, this is dumb, don't do that. You know, here in Hawaii, we don't have any choice. We have one cable operator, that's it. So I know for some of you, you have a couple, and you've got a choice. And for those of you that do, I applaud. But you know, it's just like radio stations. Do you want one company owning all of the radio stations, like, you know, or one or two companies owning? Do we want more cable companies out there that are competing? I think more is better. Don't all of you? I think competition is good. You know, it helps drive innovation too. All right, last article for tonight is one that's up on Wired, and this is one I've always wondered about. It's MP3 blogs, and I used to get a lot of music off of MP3 blogs. They're offering file sharing even the RIAA could love, and this is kind of an oxymoron because, you know, the RIAA has been going after people for downloading stuff, but here you've got blogs, MP3 blogs, that don't look like anything like a BitTorrent or LimeWire site. They're low-key. They're run by individuals, and they provide direct links to third-party sites or even storage lockers where pirated music is stored. So this is, you know, why is the RIAA, why have they not went after them? Here they are. They are direct linking to an MP3 file. And I used to have a scraper that would go out and pull MP. And I would, the only sites I was subscribed to were PodSafe Music websites. I was getting PodSafe Music that way. But there's, you know, there's programs out there that will look at a website and will download the MP3s associated to it. And I can't think of the name of the program I used to use, but it was it used to run as a command line. So it wasn't super fancy, and it used a text file to have a, you know, the listing of all the websites you wanted to go scrape, and it downloaded to I'll have to find that and give you guys the information on that. But anyway, you know, why has the RIAA not went after these guys? You know, very much in their right, they could go after them and say, hey, you're direct linking to a, you're not necessarily a site, but direct linking to a file. The bloggers seem to think it's because the music industry is trying to push the music, and one hand is saying don't share music, while the other hand is saying, here, please promote it. So definitely a double standard out there. But anyway, link up to this and all the other articles tonight will be up in the show notes. Got three voicemail comments for you. But before we get into that, hey, I want to thank all of you again for your continued support here. Tell people about the show. You know, you are the ones that are going to help grow the podcasting space. These holidays, be the geek that you are and tell everyone about the new media space, about podcasts, how to get them. You see anybody coming carrying a Zune, carrying an iPod, carrying any of the Samsung products, any the Creative Zen, whatever it may be, tell them about podcasting, where to find it, and get them subscribed to this show for sure so that they can get the best in tech news out there. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments. I have not previewed these, so we'll see what we have in, see if we get any surprises here in these voicemails. So anyway, here's the first one. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling.
Hey, Tom.
I just want to let you know, this is pretty cool. Last night, my wife came home from a PTA meeting. I've got a third grader, a first grader, and a kindergartner, and they went over the different, they had a whole sheet of the programs, the computer programs that they were learning, which was just blows me away, because when I was going to school, geez, I didn't learn any computer programs until I was in college. I wasn't taking, I took an Excel class, Word class, all that stuff, and I had keyboarding in high school. What was cool is that these kids are, you know, in first grade and second grade and third grade, they're learning Word, they're learning Excel,
cool,
and they're also using other programs such as GarageBand. That's part of their syllabus
in first
program.
Grade?
And podcasting is one of the things they are learning how to do. So I thought it was pretty cool. And hopefully, you know, we'll see more of that kind of thing happening in schools across the country. So pretty neat, and just shows you how either how old we are or how old we feel and how things are different just, you know, not too long ago, say 15, 20 years ago. So it's pretty neat. You wonder how things are going to advance in the future. So anyway, hey, enjoy your new house and your Christmas tree, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that, and very, very cool. I wish, you know, the kids here in Hawaii, my kids get computer class once a week for an hour, and they don't have enough computers for all the kids. The kids have to share. It's pretty sad, but it is cool that they're doing that there, and it's good that they're teaching them podcasting too. I do know that when I released my book came on the street in 2005, a lot of schools bought my book, and it's part of their curriculum. They're actually using my book to teach people about podcasting. So hey, if your kids see one of those green shiny books on there said podcasting to do it yourself guide, you can say hey. Anyway, very interesting, very cool. Thanks for that, Tom. Appreciate it. Here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Tom. Randy here.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, rather than send you an email, I'm going to give you a quick phone call just to get this spot out there. You've got all these little laptops going on for the OLPC, and what I was thinking would be a really cool thing to do, whether or not you do it with one of these units for the giveaways or whatnot, but if you could either that or the triple EPC, maybe a separate thing to do, but what I think would be really cool is to have a laptop that is signed by you, by Mike, by Andy McCaffrey, out of Slashdot Review, and the others that are from the Tech Podcast Network, that have podcasts going on. If you guys could all have one and tastefully sign it and put it up for eBay, and we can all do a bidding war for that, and then the proceeds from that go towards another shot for another OLPC or some other charity that you had in mind. Maybe you could do this during your 24-hour deal. Don't know. So in any event, that's just my thought. I think I might have a couple others, but they kind of floated in and out of my brain space. But if I have more, I'll give you another holler back while I'm going down the road here. I'm headed towards, going to go through Andy McCaskey territory up here in just a little bit. So I'll be honking when I go past his exit. Anyway, enjoy your warm holiday. It's now frigid up here. It's about 30 degrees going westbound on I-80 in Ohio towards Wisconsin. So anyway, enjoy your nice high view vantage point you've got up there looking down at the bay. So I'm glad you're living in Hawaii, though. Someone has to. I'll stay here. Anyway, take care. Bye.
Hey, Randy, thanks. You know something, living in Hawaii is, there is a price to living in Hawaii, and it's called paradise tax. It's very, at times, it can be frustratingly expensive for some things. It is pretty comical, because when I come back to the mainland and I buy something, and I, you know, a perfect example is, and I hate to use fast food as an example, but order, you know, everyone has kind of a standard order. They go through fast food, and you get your money out because you know how much it's going to be. And when I'm in the mainland, it's always like $3 less. So, yes, there is a paradise tax here. But so far as signing a laptop, that's interesting. I don't know how many people would bid on an autographed. I don't know. I don't know if that would. It would definitely be a unique thing to do between Mike over at Mike Tech Show, Andy McCaskett /.review. Myself, and maybe some others. Of course, you can find all these great podcasts over at techpodcast.com. Yeah, that's a thought. It really, really is. I don't know. I'm definitely not, we're not rock star quality, so I don't know if the value would be high enough, but I don't know. You thought it was a good idea, so it might. I have to run this by the guys and see what they think. So I'll run that through the old tumblers here a little bit and process that. I don't know if I want to do that with the ones that we've got coming, because I don't know if we want to give marked up laptops to anyone. But anyway, we'll give it a thought. Anyway, thanks for that, Randy. Appreciate it. And drive safe out there, okay, for sure. All right, here is the last voicemail of the night, and then I've got a few just a few comments tonight from in email.
Hey, Todd, it's Brian. Congrats on the new crib. In regards to the upload and download speeds available from the ISPs, would you say that one might equate downloading with purchasing and uploading with selling? I don't want to suggest a conspiracy, and I'm sure there's a technical reason for the poor upload speeds, but funny how that works, huh? That it's difficult for the little guy to get his high-def video uploaded, so maybe I'll end up turning to the big boys for content. as far as the Dave Weiner story, yeah, look at that. I agree with most of it. It's, you know, it's where his podcasting is going. The two things I think that are most important are probably the delivery and the promotion. I've always thought that the delivery needs to be made as mindless as possible.
Yep.
I'm not suggesting potential listeners are mindless.
It does need to be mindless.
For a variety of reasons. I know some really intelligent people with higher education that still struggle with just, like, getting music on their iPods. I mean, I think some just can't be bothered with sorting out the whole podcasting thing. But I think for most it's a time issue, you know, and people just want to get in their car or come home and hit a button on a remote and have instant media.
Yep.
As far as the promotion, I still think podcasting hasn't really seen the big hit show to get people really talking about it. Outside of what's available already on terrestrial radio and as a podcast, and outside of the tech world, have you heard anyone talking about a podcast the way people talk about a radio or TV show or even a YouTube video?
Oh, a few.
I think when you hear the average person saying, wow, I heard this podcast the other day and it was amazing, you have to check it out, then I think the consumers will really increase. And I also think that good fiction and comedy are kind of missing from the space. And it'd be interesting to see what would happen if more content like that was available or more shows and how it would speed things up. Anyway, that's my two cents, and great show.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, what it boils down to is marketing and money. You know, when you have your brand and you have a dedicated TV channel to do nothing but run advertisements and promote the shows that are on your network, you know, that's, you know, it's right there available via remote control. Doesn't get any easier than that. And that's why most of the media on TV is mindless. And I think we talked about it, the, you know, the essentially TV's there to satisfy the monkey mind. You're just there to feed your brain full of whatever. You don't have to interact. You don't have to, you know, there's no way that you can, you know, call in to a TV show. Well, you can on some, but, you know, most of the mainstream TV stuff, you're not interacting with them like you just did by calling into the show. So I think the podcasting part's an active listenership. People that like to listen to talk radio probably listen to podcasts a lot. You know, I'd love to do a full-blown talk radio type of program where, you know, talking about subjects of the day, not necessarily tech-related. But, you know, you have to have a lot of time to put that together and a staff. And you look at the, look at the top people that are on talk radio today. You look at Hannity, you look at Rush, you know, it depends on who you listen to or what you like to listen to. And they're, you know, stats wise, I think they're top of their game right now. Those two guys are, but they have huge staffs to do nothing but dig and find the material that the particular person's going to talk about for 3 or 4 hours. And it's, and at times that content can even get a little annoying because they're, you know, they harp on some stuff so long. But I don't know. I don't know what the biggest hit is for podcasting yet. I think we're going to remain, you know, very niche audiences. But, you know, in this day and age, how many times, and this is what I tell podcasters, and this is what I want to tell people that are listening to this show that are thinking about doing their own show. How often do you get the chance to address X number of people? Most of us, maybe we talk at a sales meeting, you know, maybe most of us in our lifetime will address a large audience of people. A large audience being maybe 300, 400, 500 people, right? That would be a big audience for many people to talk to. And many of us would probably, even I today, would probably get sweaty palms going and doing a live talk at a, you know, in an auditorium to 300 to 500 people. But the number of people that listen to the show significantly exceed those numbers. And many of you are, and I'm talking to you. So I guess the thing is even though the audience isn't huge, the number of people we're reaching is significant numbers as individuals, more than we would on a normal basis. So I think that's one perspective that I try to keep as I'm doing my podcast. And I know that how many are generally listening. And it's, I guess that's, you know, that's satisfying enough for me. It really is. I mean, I don't care if the number's 10 or 100,000. I really don't. Just as long as you guys are getting something out of the content. That's the main thing. But, oh, hey, great voicemails tonight. Really great. And I got three emails here. And I got one from Bob. Says, hey, Todd, not sure if you already covered this in your podcast or blog, but what do you think of AudioDizer.com? They have a text-to-speech product that is targeted to convert RSS feeds to blogs to MP3s. However, I'm concerned that they are also providing a capability to violate copyrights by converting blogs without bloggers' explicit permission. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Sure would like to get your expert opinion. By the way, search your site for a reference on this subject before emailing you. Bob, I have not looked at their terms of service, but I know there's people out there that are doing that, and they're actually calling those podcasts where people are blogging, and then they have this thing that converts the written word into a computerized MP3, which is annoying. But if they're just going out there and doing that of other people's websites and aggregating it that way on their own site, I would be highly concerned about that. And I'll check that out, Bob, and I'll report back to you. Apologize I didn't have a chance to look at it before, but I'll definitely check it out. Got an email from Tom and something really cool. It's called a do-it-yourself diamond thermal compound. For those of you that are overclockers out there, you'll definitely want to check this out. This is a really cool article. Also got an email from Lee Anthony. Hey, Todd, longtime listener, love the show. Any visits from the blue ghost, or is that one thing that was left at the old? Hey, the ghost stayed. We haven't seen the ghost in a long, long while, okay? And he says, I just want to make sure that you got the 50 I sent via PayPal for the OLPC. When are you going to order the PCs? Hey, I've already ordered two, and I need to go through and I'll make sure that your donation got through. If it isn't, I'll send you an email back. But we're real close to getting the third one. I'll inform everybody where we're at on that. here on the next show. I did have one person offer to make up the difference to get to the third one, but I, you know, go ahead and take donations from the audience for a while yet before we go ahead and if I want to resort back and ask the audience member to make up the difference on the third. But appreciate that, and no strange occurrences here yet, but we are keeping our eyes peeled. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. So from Upper Makakilo, overlooking Honolulu, Hawaii, you've been listening to the Geek News Central podcast at geeknewscentral.com. Check us out. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Stay subscribed. Tell others. Till next time, aloha.